xin chào.
안녕하세요.
สวัสดีค่ะ.
สบายดี. 你好.
Who's today?
明天来吧.
¿Cómo está acá?
Hey everybody, welcome to Dragon Radio. This is Dragon Radio 46. I'm your host, Tony Reno. We've got music from Thailand and Japan today, but before we get to that, I want to talk to Thanapa in Bangkok about the recent military coup there and find out what her perspective is. Right here on Dragon Radio, dragonradio.hk. We've got Thanapa in Bangkok, and Thanapa, thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule, and I know you're busy now with work because of the coup, but can you tell us, like, what's going on in the streets in Bangkok, and what's the general feeling of the people of Bangkok?
If you ask me, you know, in Bangkok, people quite happy of coup. That might sound weird, you know, but for the most of the Thai people right now, they feel that they know a lot of what the Thaksin government do to their country. So, you know, I think that the coup by the military and also the police department is coming in the right time and right place.
I also know that in Thailand, the king is very important still. So how does the king play in all this? I mean, the military wants to overthrow Thaksin, and so, I mean, has the king come out and said, I'm in favor of the military or I'm in favor of Thaksin? What has the king said about everything?
A lot of foreign media ask this question of the king involved in the coup or not? Is he support the coup or not? But my answer is that the king is above all the institution in this country. So he is just being informed by the military of what happened. He didn't involve or support any group, as I know. As for the king, the people is there, is his children. So, I mean, this is his duty to you know, to respond for the people's life in the country. But then he didn't just sit back and watch the TV to see what happened. But I am sure that our king is monitor the situation closely, and also the military is mentioned for a long time before that we had a coup that the military belongs to the king, not to the politician.
Okay, so right now in the streets of Bangkok, we see images of tanks and, you know, mm-hmm. soldiers, but everybody's safe, you're safe, it's calm in the city?
Of course, it's peaceful, you know, and for me, it's so a very peaceful and very happy group. You will never see anything like this in this world or in any other country.
Do you think Thaksin will come back to Bangkok? Is he scheduled to come back, or what's this? What has Thaksin said?
Today, I went to the press conference by the General Somtit, who is the head of the council. He mentioned that if Mr. Thaksin wants to come back to the country, he is welcome here because he is also Thai people. But then again, there are many, you know, many company, many people file the lawsuit against him. So if he come back, it is likely that he might be, you know, fined. I mean, sent to the court and pass on the legal process.
Well, I hope you're safe, and I hope you continue to be safe. And of course, I wish the best for the Thai people. Whatever the Thai people want, they should get. It's just an interesting story. And I thank you for sharing it with the Dragon Radio listeners.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good luck, Thanapa, to you and the people of Thailand. I wish you all a quick and violent-free resolution to this problem. It's interesting for me just to talk to somebody who's actually down on the street and living through this, so I hope you enjoyed as well. Let's start the music now and go to Thailand with a band called Apartment Kumpa. Their song, Crying Tiger. This song was written for a movie, but never used in the movie. It's from a 2001 release. They're in the studio now recording a CD. They'll be done at the end of this year. The CD already has a title, Romantic Comedy. So this is Apartment Kumpa with Crying Tiger on Dragon Radio, dragonradio.hk.
Yeah.
Okay, that was Haru from Japan and his song Color Movement from a CD called No Music, No Life. I found that on the PodSafe Network, so if you get a chance, check out the PodSafe Network. A lot of cool music from up-and-coming artists. Before that, we heard music from Thailand and Apartment Kumpa's single, Crying Tiger. Looking forward to their next release, as I really like that song. We've got more music from Japan, more music from Thailand, but before we get to that, one more interview. Recently in Hong Kong, a friend of mine visited, my friend Annie Lam. I met her through her website. It's called Hong Kong Vintage Pop, and it plays basically old Cantonese and some new stuff too, but 80s, 70s kind of vintage classic pop music from Hong Kong. And Annie has that website and radio station, and she's also an artist manager, and she focuses on Asian American artist. Park Landon is the name of her company. So she brought one of her artists, Johnny Hi-Fi, who we've played here on the show before. She brought them to Hong Kong. They did a whirlwind Asia tour. They were in Taiwan and in Beijing and the mainland. So I wanted to ask her a few questions about the whole Asian music industry in the United States. And this is the interview right here on Dragon Radio, dragonradio.hk. We're here with Annie Lam from Park Landon. Promotion and artist relation, concert promoting, concert booking. We're here in Hong Kong. She brought her band Johnny Hi-Fi here on an Asian tour. They're starting here in Hong Kong tonight, playing at the Fringe Club. And welcome to Hong Kong, Annie.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody.
You're originally from Hong Kong or born in the States?
No, I was born in Hong Kong. And I came over. Went over to the U.S. when I was six. So I'm practically new here.
Can you speak Cantonese?
Yeah, I speak fluently. I learned Chinese actually by singing karaoke.
I'm learning one song, "Bungan Ba Leng" by Sam Hui. That's it. So the reason I wanted to talk to you about is, you know, for Dragon Radio, what we're doing is promoting Asian music in the United States and the English-speaking world, and you're kind of doing the same thing with all your promotions and your bands. What do you think, what made you believe that the American audiences want to hear Asian artists, in particular artists that sing in Asian languages like Chinese, Mandarin, or Cantonese?
Well, I think there is a general fascination in the U.S. with the Asian culture. And, you know, so far, most of the bands that have succeeded in the U.S. are all fronted by non-Asians. And I think it's time, for the American audience to see something different. And, you know, obviously, by doing this, I hope we are able to break those kinds of stereotypes because... you know, in the U.S., they really perceive Asians as like the kind of, you know, the kung fu, you know, the fighter or, you know, like the, you know, the serious type. Like not the type that would actually go out and start a rock band and tour around the world. So we think that, you know, besides the cultural thing, we also think that music is extremely strong enough to attract the American audience. And we're kind of, you know, hoping that that can overcome whatever racial differences there are.
And how many artists do you have in your stables? Like, you know, and what music genres do you particularly cover?
I go after commercialized music. And so we're talking about alternative rock, pop, R&B, hip hop. And I currently have I have less than 10 artists on my roster. Some of them are major record label artists, and some of them, like Johnny Hi-Fi, they're unsigned, but that's something, it's my pet project. I want to be able to bring them to a whole new level and just take them from start, you know, all the way, you know, and be able to propel their career.
So you're doing everything from recording CDs, videos, live shows, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like a business. So we treat the band like they're as a business, they're a product. We record, we tour. Tours, we do a lot of touring every year, and so all year round we're busy.
So let's say you're in Norman, Oklahoma, and Johnny Hi-Fi's got a show. Do you promote the artist as an Asian artist or just Johnny Hi-Fi?
We go and promote ourselves as just Johnny Hi-Fi because we have two distinct audiences. One is, you know, the... Because Johnny Hi-Fi actually appeals to general mass America. All our fans are very diverse. And, you know, Oklahoma, we would be Johnny Hi-Fi. But then there's some you know, we do a lot of college shows to Asian students, you know. Then we try to represent, you know, the Asian race and come in as, you know, the Asian rock band. And that's how a lot of kids see us and look up to us as, you know, the first band that actually, going out there and doing this.
When you go to the shows, the demographic of the audience, is it typically more Asians than Caucasians? Or what's the mix of the audience throughout the United States? I'm not just saying Norman, Oklahoma, even New York City. Is there a stronger Asian following, Asian American following, or is there any difference?
Our Asian following is really strong. I would say at our shows lately, there are more Asians. We used to have a really diverse mix of audience, and then MTV Chi launched in the U.S. We got a ton of buzz from MTV Chi, and then we started seeing more Asians at our shows. Now I would say our Asian fan base is much stronger.
And now you come out to Asia on this tour. I guess it's hard to tell now, but what do you expect the Asian audiences? What do you expect their reaction to be to the music? I'm assuming Johnny has some songs in Chinese, and he'll be singing those, but he'll also be singing English songs as well. What do you think, or what has been the fan reaction out here to some of these artists?
Well, personally, my goal is to expose Johnny Hi-Fi's music, which is a little more westernized, to the Asian audience in Asia. Because I feel like, not just with Johnny Hi-Fi, but with the other acts that I represent, is I think that the talent that we have, we haven't been given, you know, the opportunity to perform or expose ourselves in front of a different kind of audience. And I feel like, you know, musically, I feel like there's just so much that I want to open their eyes to. And that's my personal motivation. And I hope with this Asia tour that we could, our goal is to become international, like truly international, not just, you know, come here, you know, once every couple of years, do some shows and leave. We want to spend a lot more time and really develop our Asian fan base.
And then when you get back to the States, are you continuing to tour through the fall? Do you have any dates lined up already in the States where people might be able to see Johnny Hi-Fi?
We do a lot of college tours during the fall and spring semesters, and that's where most of the kids will catch us.
And besides Johnny Hi-Fi, your other artists, where can people find these Asian artists in the United States? You have a website or some other updated schedule?
They can go to my website, parklandon.com, and there's a great range of artists that we're in development where we're pushing them to come to Asia. There's Dana Leung, who's a fantastic cellist and trombonist, who is half Japanese and half Chinese. And, you know, he's amazing. So we're trying to push him to Japan. And then there's also Chanel, who is just signed a deal with Virgin Records. And she's half Chinese. And a lot of people actually look at her as being, maybe she's the one who is going to finally open the doors for the Asian music scene in America.
So the buzz is growing with MTV Chi and bands like Asobi Seksu. And the only reason I mention it is because I didn't find out about it until they hit the top 10 chart on CMJ.
You know, the reason I like to work with rock bands is because everything is just so much more low-key. And it's all about the music and the fans. And it's not so much about, like, the fame or the pop stardom or the glitz and the glamour. And then that's when, you know, I see rock bands major. Like, when I was back in 2004, this Taiwanese rock star, Zhang Zhenyue, he came to do this House of Blues tour in the U.S. And, you know, he probably makes a gazillion dollars doing this in China, playing to like 20,000 people. But he actually came to the U.S. in a van. Like, he was just touring in a van and sleeping at like 2-star motels. And it wouldn't have happened if he didn't make those sacrifices, because there was no way that you could play at a club and fly first class and sleep at a 5-star hotel and still play clubs and still keep the ticket prices reasonable.
Well, that's the other thing too. The real estate out here is at a premium, Hong Kong and Tokyo especially. And to find a big club to play in, you have to raise the ticket prices. So I think the other thing the Western artists have to think about is coming and playing smaller venues and maybe solving the problem that way. But yeah, I agree. It's something that has to be addressed for the crossbreeding of music to happen. Well, Annie, thank you for talking to us here on Dragon Radio. We look forward to see Johnny Hi-Fi show tonight. So thanks again, and enjoy Asia.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it.
from Japan and the fine people at peoplesrecords.net. That is FC from their CD Rain or Shine and a song called Ace. Before that, we had an interview with Annie, and we've got some Thai music coming up. But before we get to that, I just want to remind you, please send me email info@dragonradio.hk if you have a question, comment, or complaint, or if you just want to say hi. Also, go to the website after you listen to each show and vote for your favorite feature or song. And it's simple. All you have to do is enter your email. I don't even get your email. Actually, I think there's something wrong with the website because I don't know where it goes. But you need to enter your email so that you can't vote twice. As much as I'd love you to vote a million times, you can only vote once. And that's what makes it more accurate, actually. So please do that. DragonRadio.hk. On the right-hand side, you'll see vote for your favorite song, and just click on that and do it. Also, you'll see a new link on my site. I've been doing these local Rocket reports for the Rocket Festival, little video clips of interviewing local bands. So if you're interested in that, click and watch those. There are about 7 right now. There should be more to come as the festival gets closer. So let's finish the show off with music from Thailand. This is about the Hopewell Project, which was a SkyTrain that was supposed to go from the inner city of Bangkok out to the airport. And halfway through the project, the Asian financial crisis hit, so they were never able to finish the project. But what's worse than that is they got all the pillars up. So now all the pillars are standing there without a track or road on top of it, and it's a constant reminder of the failure, and they actually dubbed it the Hopeless Project, because it probably will never happen, especially now that they just opened a new airport at a totally different location. So this is a band called Eastbound Downers and their song Hopewell Catastrophe. This is from their 2001 release. Two brothers, Toppy and Dino, run the band, and hopefully they'll have some more good music coming. But for now, this is their song, Hopewell Catastrophe, right here on Dragon Radio, dragonradio.hk. Have a good week, everybody.